is. Amen? Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice, as the psalmist said, and we will be glad in this day. We also know that today is a special day for our mothers. That's right, praise God for all of the mothers. And I promise, moms, I won't have you stand this year, okay? I know you don't like that, and I understand. But we do want to honor you because you do deserve honor. And by the way, someone might say, well, just preacher, get into the Word and start preaching. You know, that is part of getting into the Word, that is part of proclaiming the Word of God to honor our fathers and our mothers. Matter of fact, didn't the Apostle Paul say that in Ephesians? He did. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he said, what? Honor your fathers. And then he said, honor your mothers. And then he said something really interesting. He said, this is the first commandment, of God that came with a promise. Because we know when we don't honor and obey our mothers and fathers, we don't live very long, right? And so that's what he said. Obey your fathers and your mothers. And so today we honor them. We acknowledge our mothers. And we are so thankful for you today. And we hope that today is just filled with blessings and the richness of God today as you spend time with your family. I really like gospel preaching. Matter of fact, you've already heard it this morning. Little did you know that Ron was going to get up during the scripture reading and preach to you. He did a great job. As he read Romans chapter 6, that was a little bit of preaching, right? You heard three sermons now. You heard one from Ed also, who did a great job during the Lord's Supper. And then you're going to hear for a few minutes from me. But I love gospel preaching. I love listening to preachers. And I know you do as well. Sometimes I'll put a CD in my car when I'm driving to and from wherever I'm going. And I just like to listen to different lessons and different preachers proclaim. There's a lot of great gospel preachers. I was asking Ed this morning. I said, who's the greatest gospel preacher? And he, you know, just thinking a little bit. And I just wanted to pick his brain and see who he thought. Growing up, some great preachers. We've all heard them. We've all been influenced by different people in our faith. You would say, that's a great gospel preacher. I was thinking of names. Some of these you may have heard of. Some of you may not have. Maybe you've even heard these preachers personally. Batzel Barrett Baxter, what a name. That's a preacher's name, right? Batzel Barrett Baxter, great preacher. I heard one of his lessons on tape. Some of you might remember long ago, and these are just a few. I can't, for the sake of time, begin to mention all of the great ones that are out there. All those that even influenced our own lives, in our families, in our churches, wherever we've been. Men like Ira North, you remember, he was quite a character. But he was a great gospel preacher, Ira North. Men like, you probably remember the black preacher, Marshall Keeble. He was a powerful, powerful man. He preached the gospel in a very difficult time in the history of our nation. There are some that are still alive today. You know of names like Jim McGuigan. You remember, he's no longer with us now, Prentice Metter. He was a great preacher. Men like Jimmy Allen. I think Jimmy Allen is still with us. I know he's up there in years. What a powerful, powerful preacher. Guys like J.J. Turner and all of my instructors that I had when I went to school, they were great. And there's so many. What was the message of these men? What was it that made these gospel preachers great gospel preachers? And I was reflecting on that this week. And I thought, you know, I didn't hear every lesson they delivered. I didn't even hear most of them. Some of them I didn't really hear any. But I know what the central thrust of their, call it preaching career, or the time that they proclaimed and preached. I know what the central thrust was. And so do you. It was Jesus. It was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It was the cross of our Lord. And that there is salvation in no one else. We can proclaim anything under the sun. It will not save the soul, does not have the power to save the soul. And they knew that. And the power wasn't in them. It was in the message. It was in the message and not the man. Now, they delivered it very, very well and powerfully. But we know the ultimate power was in God. You see, like Paul, they commended us to God, didn't they? They commended us to God. They commended us to the word of His grace, because they knew that that's what was able to build you up. That's the very thing that was able to give you and I an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And they knew it, so they proclaimed it over and over and over again. Acts 20, verse 32. They were determined, like Paul. Remember when he went into Corinth where he said, I'm determined to know nothing among you. They knew there was nothing among the people that they were to know about that could save them. I was determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so they came and they proclaimed and they preached the Word of God in season and out of season. And they were great because they reproved, they rebuked, and they exhorted with great patience and instruction in the Word of God. We say that's what made them great gospel preachers. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. So they were great gospel preachers. And we all love great gospel preachers. But this morning, I want to introduce you to the greatest gospel preacher. The greatest gospel preacher ever to live. And she's here this morning. And that's my mother. The greatest God, you didn't realize that, did you? She is the greatest proclaimer of Jesus in my life. And I'm going to honor her today because she's the greatest. And she is going to be a metaphor for all of you mothers this morning who proclaim Jesus day in and day out to your children, to your family, day in and day out, day in. And day out. Young mothers, are you hearing me? Day in and day out. And they never stopped. And they proclaimed in so many ways. You understand what I'm saying. You understand the metaphor here this morning. You've heard it said, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear the sermon, right? And we get that idea. Really, you ought to see it and hear it. Because Jesus verbalized it. But He also exemplified it. He displayed it. He lived it. He was the great servant, wasn't He? He came not to be served, but to serve and to give His very life as a ransom for all. But He spoke about it as well. He spoke about it. All the mothers in the world that were godly mothers who taught their children to know Jesus. However you did that, moms, we are so thankful. Who taught us to know truth. Who taught us how to treat people. Who taught us like the golden rule. Some of the greatest lessons that Jesus ever taught. Who taught us what to say. And who said things like, if you don't have anything nice to say, little Johnny, don't say it at all, right? Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Because that is important. And so, we're going to honor our mothers. What made our mothers the greatest proclaimers? As for this lesson, I say, the greatest gospel preachers. Let me tell you a few things here. Number one, she didn't preach or proclaim on Sunday before a packed house. She didn't. But you better believe that she proclaimed to her house. She did. In a lot of ways. Her pulpit wasn't a lectern like this. She didn't have a microphone. This wasn't her pulpit. But she proclaimed. She proclaimed over the cradle. She proclaimed in the rocker. She proclaimed in the bedroom. She proclaimed in the living room. She proclaimed in the kitchen. She proclaimed everywhere as she raised those little ones up. You know what I'm saying. You understand this. She didn't proclaim before a packed house on Sunday morning, but she preached to her house by example, in word, and in deed she proclaimed. Number two. She didn't preach it loudly. She didn't preach it with a booming voice like some of the great preachers. Boy, I wish I had a voice like they did. There's some great voices out there. I just don't have one of them. But our mothers, they didn't proclaim with a booming voice. No, but they whispered the word of truth quietly. Here it is again, day in and day out. Day in and day out. And you know, she brought her assembly before the throne. She brought her people before the throne. How often? Day in and day out. You better believe it. Day in and day out. In the morning, in the middle of the day, and in the evening, she brought her assembly before the throne. Because she knew how important that, she knew we desperately needed it, right, guys? Especially me. She knew we needed prayer. She knew that we needed God. It reminded me, I was thinking about this, I got to chuckle out of it, but you know, recently the great country singer Merle Haggard, remember him? Merle Haggard, he died. But he had that song, Mama Tried, right? Mama Tried, and I thought, you know what? My mama didn't try, she did it. If there was any failure, it was on my part, on our part, not her part. She did it. She proclaimed day in and day out. Number three, she proclaimed the good news. And I think this is really the main point that I want to bring home here this morning. She proclaimed the good news through her good deeds. Right? That's what she did. Do you think she was preaching all along, our moms? Absolutely. As they were serving us, it reminded me of John in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. And of course, John's not writing to mothers. We know that. Writing to Christians towards the end of his life in 1 John. And what does John say, this apostle of love? He said, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And I thought, that's my mom. Loving in deed and in truth. We say actions speak louder than words, and their actions spoke louder than words, and we followed them, and we learned from them, because they loved us in deed and in truth. And she proclaimed when she was sick, didn't she? When she wasn't feeling good, sleepless nights, up with us when we were sick. She proclaimed when she was sick. She proclaimed when the money was tight. She proclaimed when she was worn out and worried. Worried about her relationship. Worried about her family. Worried about her children. Worried about jobs and all the other worries of life. She was worried, but yet she proclaimed. And she never stopped. She proclaimed, come rain or shine. She proclaimed and never complained. You know, that's one thing as I was thinking about my mom. And this is very true. I cannot remember a moment in which my mom complained. I don't know. Maybe someone in my family heard her complain, but I never heard my mother complain. As hard as life was, she faced it trusting in God, and I watched that. I observed that. You know, Paul told the church at Philippi in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, you know, that church that he had a great love and affection for. He says this, and think about moms here. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. But with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest. You know the verse, church. I quote it every other Sunday, right? Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interests of others. That's our mothers. They were constantly, day in and day out, putting themselves before us. And putting other people before us. Oh, I love godly mothers, the greatest gospel preachers. Fourthly, she proclaimed when she handed us our first Bible, our first copy of the Word of God, whenever that was. I don't know who gave you your first Bible. Perhaps it was your mother. It was my mom. She gave me my first Bible. It's not this one. I didn't bring it. I still have it. It's a copy of the NIV, and I am so thankful for that. She knew God could work. She didn't know exactly how, I'm sure, and how it would look and how it would all happen. But all along, God was working. God had been working. And that God all along would work through His Word, and she believed that. She knew that God's word would not, as Isaiah said in chapter 55, verse 11, it wouldn't come back void, or it wouldn't come back empty or not accomplishing something. As Isaiah said, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth, and it will not return empty. It won't. Without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter from which I sent it. She knew that if we would receive the word of God implanted, that it could save our souls. That it had the power to save our souls. James chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. And that it was an eternal word. That this word is so much more than black type and pages. That it's powerful. That it has the power to save the soul, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. That it's an eternal word, as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, that all the flesh is like grass. We know that. That all its glory is like a flower of the grass. And the grass is going to wither and the flower is going to fall off. But you know what? The word of the Lord abides and endures forever. It will not fade. That's why it's so important for us to hang on to this eternal word, because it is the word of life. It will never go away, no matter what. It will always be. And she knew that. And she knew that if we could receive it in our hearts, that it had the power to bear fruit in us, probably beyond what she could ever imagine, and from generations to come. She knew that. I know. As young mothers, and I want to speak just for a minute to you, that it is challenging to raise your children, especially today. All the things that you face, and we know that you are tired, we know that you are worried, we know that you have concerns about the life of your children and about their future. But I want to encourage you in this lesson with one point. As a matter of fact, if you're taking notes, you can write this one point down. If you're a young mother, you probably have your cell phone, so you can use your phone. You know what I like to do? I like to go over my phone and I go under the notes. Sometimes I'll take a point, one point, and I'll type it in my notes. And that way, when I'm like at the hospital and I'm in the waiting room or something, I can just go in there and I can look at that. That one point, or a verse. It's a great way to use your phone. So I want to encourage you to get out your phone or to take a note. And I'm going to give you one point. And I want to encourage you to think on this one point for 30 days. Because we know you're tired. We know sometimes you think, what's the point of this? What is the point of all of this? But I want you to put these words in there. Deliberately proclaim it. Or deliberately proclaim every day. Or you can just say deliberately do it every day. And think about that in terms of your family and your children. That every day you are an example and they're watching. And one day, maybe not right now, but one day it all is going to pay off. As you influence them, as you sing those songs, as you read those scriptures, as you show by your example every day of what it means to be a Christian. Deliberately proclaim every day. Think about that as a mother, as your example. Did I say this morning I love great gospel preachers? I do. Because of what they proclaim. But for the sake of this lesson today, I want to say they can't hold a candle to godly mothers. And your influence, moms, will go on into eternity. Keep it up. Don't stop. Because there are people in your house to influence that are so important. And you know, as we honor you today, I was thinking back, you know, our Lord is so amazing. We're going to close with this thought. Go to John's Gospel, John chapter 19. You know, our Lord has already been put on the cross. He's been abused, beaten, spit on, slapped. Everything else that happened, the crown of thorns, had been beaten down on his head. He's near death. He's near the end. It's about redemption is about to be fulfilled, to be accomplished, right? Right there at the cross. And you know, it amazes me that Jesus spends time at that moment. You know, I would be so selfish in that situation. It would all be about me. It would all be about my pain. It would all be about my suffering. But you get a glimpse of Jesus and his character in John's gospel in chapter 19, starting in verse 28, when he actually honors his mother there at Calvary at the cross. That's part of the gospel. Listen to what it says there in John chapter 19, starting in verse 25. There, the soldiers did these things. They had just divided his garments and cast lots for them. They were just making a mockery of Jesus. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother. Man, that's such a beautiful thought when you think about it. And his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he, or disciple whom he loved, standing nearby, he said to his mother, he said, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciples, "Behold your mother," to the disciple whom he loved, right? Saying, listen, Jesus knew this is it. And he says to John, he says, "This is now your mother. I want you to take care of my mother. I want you to take her into her home. I want you to honor her. She is now your mother. Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. And after Jesus, knowing that all the things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scriptures, which said, "I am thirsty," a jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop, brought it to his mouth. And therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished. It's been accomplished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Redemption, the price for sin, had now been paid for. You know, he did what everything that was said in the law of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, and here it was fulfilled, and his mother was part of that. What a beautiful, beautiful story. You know, in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says of Jesus that he was delivered up because of our transgressions and raised because of our justification. We can only be justified through the blood of Jesus, family and friends. There is no other way. Ron did a good job of bringing that out in the scripture reading and why baptism is so important. And we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation song. And if we can help you deal with your sin today, if you haven't, so that you can live eternity with God and all those who have gone on who have loved him and loved his appearing, we want to help you do that. If we can encourage you, pray for you, help you, whatever your needs may be this morning. Let's stand, let's sing, and will you come?
We will glorify the King of Kings.